Gary now lives in South Africa in a city just outside, well, on a farm just outside a city called Allowell North. She's married to Jeff, her husband, and two children, Lisa and Justin. And Kerry ministers in many of the nations of the world, South Africa, of course, Australia, New Zealand, the USA, Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, England, and so on. I'm not going to forget many of them. If I've forgotten any, Kerry, forgive me. But it's most of the nations of the world. And Kerry has a vision for other nations like Japan and South America. And I believe God will move her to those nations as she's already sown her apostolic ministry and anointing into nations, into leaders' lives, and into churches. And she's got that ability to teach the Word of God with a strong prophetic flow. And she moves in the prophetic very accurately. And builds churches, establishes leaders, and God is going to use her and continue to use her in the nations. So, you know, tonight you will be blessed by her ministry and be ready to receive, because God has a word for us in season, I believe, for this place. So Kerry will minister to us in a wonderful way. And I'd like to just say that Kerry is also a graduate of the Vision Bible College in Sydney and has also got a fine arts degree in English. Something I didn't know until I read the leaflet recently. So, you know, Kerry's well qualified to talk to us because she's touched nations and churches, and we look forward to her ministry tonight, so we're in for a good time. Kerry's also brought a friend with her, June, and June is also from Perth, but originally from the States. And the last time I called June up, she wasn't too happy that I didn't give her any warning. So now I'm giving her about 30 seconds warning just to come and say hello to you so that you can hear, and she would like to just say hi to you.
Hi. I definitely am not ready for this at all. Same as it was the last time, and you're going to pay for this, you know. I just want to thank God for the opportunities that He gives us. Doesn't matter what age we are, whether we're very young or a little bit older. I'm not going there, so don't ask me, I won't tell you. But God gives us opportunities to reach out to people for Jesus and in His love. It doesn't matter what age we are. We are the light of the world, and we are to set that light high on a hill and reach out to people for Jesus Christ. And I was just thinking, actually in the car on the way up, as Kerry and Len were talking about, last night we were in Warkworth, is that right? Warkworth, at Lifeway College, and we had been invited to dinner, and on the way back, our hostess said, would you like me to show you the way? We walked, but we were talking, so we weren't paying any attention to where we were going, so we probably couldn't have found our way back to our room. But it was very dark when we walked out, and it had been raining, and we actually didn't know what way to go, and you had to be careful where you walked and where you stepped. So it was so thoughtful of her to show us the way to get back to our room. And she was our light in that situation. And I'm just thinking, each one of us who loves Jesus Christ, we have that light in us. And separately, even though our light may be small in the darkness, that little light in a very dark place can shed very far abroad. But when we come together as a body, that light even gets brighter, and so people can find their way easier. And then I was thinking, as Kerry talks about going into the nations and the nations coming together and people who love Jesus Christ all over the world coming together, it doesn't matter if you're Baptist, which I am. Yeah. God has brought me a long way in the last year, I can tell you that. Praise Him. And doesn't matter what denomination you are, if you love Jesus Christ all over the world, if we all came together for Him, that light would be so bright that there would be darkness nowhere in this world, and people could find their way to Jesus Christ. So let's just pray for that and look to God for that anointing of people who love Him coming together and our light being so bright that people can find the way. And I just say thank you and bless you, and may God bless you richly, and may you come to know Him more intimately each day. Thank you.
Kerry, we're going to hand over to you. And
guys.
Hi.
Oh, you Kiwis. It's fun to be back in New Zealand again. I've got a bit of a Kiwi in me from way, way back. I think it was my great-grandmother came to New Zealand. And so there's a tiny bit of Kiwi in me. I think that's the bit that keeps bringing me back. And it's really fun to be back in this sort of area again. I just enjoy the scenery and I enjoy Kiwis. You know, there's different countries you go to and the people are so different. And it's, you know, even your sense of humor is similar to an Aussie sense of humor. And that's sort of really encouraging. Other places you make a joke and about 3 minutes later everyone laughs because they get it, you know. And so it's great to be here tonight. I'm going to share just a little about myself and then I'm going to minister a word. And thank you for confirming my message that you didn't know what I was ministering on. She's great. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place, the outstanding, enormous immensity of your grace, the way that you move in power in our lives, the way that you take away the endless parts that want to strive and bring back a flow just to be like you, because that's your heart, that's what you want to do. And Father, tonight, take your word in a new way. Make it different. Make it a word that will stay. Give us a passion that is more for you. Give us a heart to be better breakthrough. Father, you want to cause us to be people of breakthrough to the core. We want to have a hunger for you in different ways and ways that you want to do more. And so, Father, take your word this night and make it awesomely, incredibly bright. We don't want to hear just another message at all. We're sick of those. And We don't want to fall for the old habit of somehow just hearing and doing nothing at all. And so, Father, we ask that you take your word and make it be sharp and accurate and bring fresh liberty. And we love you, Jesus. That's why we're gathered here. It's got nothing about visiting speakers. That's not why we're here. And Father, we want your anointing to shine. And thank you, you're the God that pulls us in line. Feel free, God, to do it. Kick us a little too. But we want to be more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. As Len said, I'm married to a farmer. People always say to me, is your husband a pastor? And he gets so fed up with that. He says, just tell him I pastor a flock of 900. You know, and it's sheep, baby, it's sheep. And I've been in ministry for well over 20 years. I was in ministry full-time in Australia before I ever went to South Africa on a ministry trip. I met a man there who was praying for a wife. I was enjoying being single, baby. I wasn't looking for a husband. And God was, this guy had been praying for 7 years for a wife, And he saw that the woman, he said, I believe that if you delight yourself in the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. My desire is for a wife. Therefore, God, you'll bring her to me. Because Eve came to Adam, Isaac's bride came to Isaac, the bride of Christ comes to Jesus. Therefore, the woman comes to the man. Now, I can show you photos of where we live. There's not even a bush for a woman to hide behind anywhere. You know, it is like desert, baby, pure desert. And so he waited for 7 years for the wife. And they said, what do you think she's going to do, drop out of the sky? And he said, maybe, I don't know. And so he waited. And they said, you've got to be specific about what you want in a wife. So he said, well, he wanted someone with a full-time call of God on their life. What he meant was a Christian. Dun, 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 dun. You know, I think sometimes what we do, we actually pray and we don't listen to what we say. And then we get what we said, not what we thought we said. So he wanted someone who was in full-time ministry, someone who was a full-time for the Lord. And then secondly, wanted someone who wasn't materialistic because he wasn't a wealthy farmer. He wasn't a wealthy farmer at all. And thirdly, he wanted someone with small hands and thin ankles. They got fatter, baby. When I go to Asia, the Chinese look at my ankles and say, fat, very fat. So I was ministering in South Africa. I was flying from Durban. And God began to speak to Jeff about being willing to serve the body, whatever was needful in the body to do. And so he dutifully said, well, I'll go and pick up this visiting speaker, not knowing. And he drove 2 hours to the airport and I dropped out of the sky for him. Okay, and that was how I ended up marrying to a South African farmer, all right? And he's a farmer. He is, you know, he's an excellent one-to-one witnesser. In fact, he's very naughty. Sometimes I fall off the plane with major jet lag, absolutely finished. And he says, there's just someone coming today. He says, I've been talking to him for a while and they really want to meet you. And I know what he means because he wants me to lead him to the Lord and get him filled with the Spirit. And it happens almost every single trip. He goes out there and hunts him in like a dog with a bone, just brings him in and says, right now, do it. And last time he did that to me, I said, now listen, I'm going to teach you how, Jeff. You don't have to wait for me. So I've got two kids. I've got a 13-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy. And they both got saved and filled with the Spirit. Lisa got saved at 3.5 and filled with the Spirit at that age. Justin got saved at 3.5 and got filled with the Spirit at about 4.5. Okay? What do you do with your kids? You get them saved and filled with the Spirit as soon as they can half think. Half think. I know who I want to brainwash my kids. And, you know, I'm watching children all over the world just being awesome for God at the moment. There's a number of things that's happening in the body of Christ at the moment. One is God's raising up the lost generation getting found. And we're seeing kids like one friend of a friend of mine who at the age of 14 had a dream that to plant a church by the age of 16. And so by the age of 16 he planted a church, and by the age of 18 he has over 350 people in outer London. Yeah? That's the sort of kids we've got to believe for. You know? Not boring, dull, dry ones. And but ones that are radical and radical at a young age. It's the same Holy Spirit in you as in your kids. If that's the truth, then what he can do in you, he can do through your kids as well. Isn't that true? And I minister, as Len said, in different nations all over the world. Last year I was 3 times in Australia, 3 times in England, in Canada, in Philippines, in Malaysia, and in Russia. And I ended up ministering from Catholic Bible colleges to Anglicans to Presbyterians, Methodists, trans-denominational sort of charismatic Pentecostals in a corporate law firm in a castle. And it was such fun in the castle because when it was one of those, it's a castle in Wales, and it had a what they call a sprung ballroom. It was a Clive of India ballroom, and it's the Earl of Powis has the castle, and he is massively involved in believing God for a move of God back in Wales again. And he has prayer conferences in September, and he's really on fire for the Lord. And it was so funny to preach there because you take a step, as you'd say, and the Lord says, and the whole congregation would go boingy, 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 like, amazing. And you had everyone's dead relatives looking at you from the wall, you know. It's really strange. This year I've already been in Australia for some ministry, up to England, and then here in New Zealand and to America, and I go to England again in October. I do see my husband. I must admit that he greets me on the tarmac. And I minister locally Monday to Friday because my kids are weekly boarders in a boarding school, because that's the nearest school to us, is 2 hours away, that's English speaking. And that's really hard. I don't enjoy, you know, that distance. We get up, normal routine on a Monday morning, we get up at 4:30 in the morning, leave at 4:30 in the morning, drive 2 hours, drop my daughter at school, and drop me at the airport, and I fly away and come back on a Friday, pick up the kids, never minister locally over a weekend, so I'm home for my daughter each weekend. My son's at another school, and so I only see him on term times, which is a bit of a pain as of this year. All right, do you feel like you know me? A little bit. I'm really not so scary, okay. I want to share with you one of the things that God is really, really doing around the world, and I may share a bit more on that during the week. During the weekend, is simply this, that God's anointing is on business people now. Yes. And all over the world, he is doing awesome things with business people. And God's been having me. I flew out to London at the end of last year to speak at a business conference for top Christian business people in the city of London. And they were international bankers, and they were, you know, my experience in business is zut and zero, so that, you know, God always promotes you to your highest level of inability and add some, you know. You can guarantee that he'll push you way out of what you can do into what you can't do, and then use you there. And it was really interesting. All around the world now is he's putting his anointing on business people and starting to do awesome and different things with business people. I'm even seeing him pull people back out of the church building and putting them back into the work scene and seeing them train people in Christian leadership into non-Christian businesses and teaching servant leadership to non-Christian leaders and mentoring servant leaders into very big high corporations now. I'm watching people get a dream for their vision, they say, God, for their business, saying, God, please, come on, bless our business that we can plant a business in a third world nation. And watching many, many business people going to places like Russia, where it's like they've lost the initiative. And reteaching initiative, and reteaching dreaming, and reteaching new strategies, and even despite the stuff that goes on with the mafia in that nation. And that means you don't pay your dues, you may be ashes and flashes, and that's it. And, you know, to try and work around the system, and sometimes an incredibly ungodly system that's happening in third world countries, and see the church prosper is really quite a daunting task. And yet it's like God is stirring up business people all around the world to come in and impact some nations that actually won't allow a Christian witness, but because they're coming in to do it as a business practice, then they're being allowed in. And there's all sorts of good, neat, sneaky things that God's allowing his people in to do worldwide. And so I firmly believe that often business people have a very small respect for almost like people who think small. And sometimes the church thinks very small. Do you know that? Yeah. You know, we say, oh, I've got to believe God for $1,000. You know, the businessman cruises by and says, oh, we've got to believe God for $750,000. You know, and there's sort of a little gap there, a bit of disparity between the two. And it's almost like God's taken big thinkers and saying, dream big now, and I'm going to make an impact into your lives and through you into people all over the place. And I met a businessman in Sydney who'd flown out from London, and one of the things we coordinated so that we could meet together. And one of the things he was doing was getting together people that were literally millionaires financially. And Christian millionaires, trying to bring them together so that they could fund finances into Christians that really were deserving of financial support. You know, there are ministries that advertise themselves, I go to India, I do this, and they actually sit in the house and watch colour TV and just send photos and don't do anything. Does that shock you? It's true. It is true. And yet there are other people that are going out and living on almost nothing and getting into jungles and getting into unreached people groups, and their churches forget them. They actually forget them. And they're just surviving, but they have such a passion for the gospel. And so there are numbers of business people coming together saying, God, we're going to, number one, believe for a release of our finances into things that are worthy of financing, where they really need the finances. Secondly, we believe in God for a release of finances that are so powerful that are coming from non-Christian business people and non-Christians. And funny things have been happening just recently. It's nothing quite like seeing a guy turn up in your church and say, I'm not a Christian and I don't want to be one. But I know about tithing and I haven't tithed for 15 years. And I feel like I'm supposed to tithe to you. And he's a multimillionaire. It's called the wealth of the wicked laid up for the righteous, guys. And I mean, I can tell you, it's just like somehow that's starting to happen now. And so you need to call it in and believe God for that, because he's really good at laying up the wealth of the wicked for the righteous in this season. Man, I want to just speak a very, very simple word on a guy called Barzillai. And I know you all know who Barzillai is. And we see him in 2 Samuel and chapter 17. To enjoy the Bible, you've got to live it. And sometimes we read it and we don't imagine that we were there. And I encourage you to imagine that you were there. I want to share just a very quick story before I start. And it's simply this. One thing that's really been important to my heart is a survey that I read years ago now from America. And this particular survey interviewed people 95 and over. And they said, if you lived your life over again, non-Christians, what three things would you do differently? Okay? First thing they said was, we would meditate more. Now, what they meant didn't mean, they meant that they would value every day like it was the last day of their lives. We wish we'd hug our wife when we could, because when we finally wanted to tell her we loved her, she died. We wished we'd we wish we'd told our kids we'd taken more time each day to value the day. Suddenly our kids were growing up and they were gone. Suddenly, I don't know, our life just zoomed away and here we are old. And they said, secondly, we wish that we'd taken more risks. We wish we'd, ridden around Europe on a motorcycle at 75 or, bungee jumped off, the tower in Auckland at 86 or something. We wish we'd taken more risk. We get to the end of our life and every part of our life says, I wish I'd. The third thing they said was, we wish we'd done more things of lasting value. Get to the end of our life and what have we really done? And I remember reading that particular survey and thinking, boy, is that a good checklist for Christians or what? And number one, very often we live our life, we zoom through, we're so consumed with a vision that we have that we miss the vision of today. I believe one of the most dangerous things is to be led by a vision. Being a prophetic person, I believe you've got to have a dream, you've got to have a vision. In fact, I should be able to give out a piece of paper to every one of you and say, write your dream down. I should get it back straight away. It should be that much in your heart. But you see, I also believe that if you get led by a vision, you will sacrifice everything to make that vision happen. And I go into churches on a regular basis and see where pastors have sacrificed their wives for the vision. They've sacrificed their kids. They've pushed people and driven people and killed people to make the vision happen. That it's actually become an ego thing now. It has got to work. And people kill people for a vision. You must never be vision-led. Okay? Never. You must have a vision and be Holy Spirit-led. Okay? You must have a vision and be Holy Spirit-led. If you're driven by a vision, it will own you one day. And you see, I started to look and think, boy, Christians, number one, most of the time we are so busy running around, we don't take the time to do what the Bible says, which is exhort one another daily. We don't take time to stop and say, God, is there someone in this coffee shop to talk to that you want me to speak to? We don't take time to hug our kids and really love our kids. I used to take games with me when I was single into pastors' houses. After a couple of days there, I'd sit down on the floor and I'd play games with the kids. I'd say to the pastor as he cruised by, hey, come and play a game with me. He'd say, oh, I'm too busy. I'd say, come and play a game with me. I'd operate in a spirit of manipulation and control. and he'd sit down and play a game. When I'd leave the game behind. And I used to regularly buy games and bring them with me. And I flew into Australia a few years ago, and this pastor met me and he said, his first words to me were, Kerry, I have a game for you. And I looked at him. He said, I hated the ministry. I never had any time with my dad. He said, I hated visiting ministry because they kicked us out of our bed. And we had to be quiet all the time. He said, you came, you rolled all over the floor, you did crazy stuff with us, you played games with us. And he said, out of that, I decided I wanted to be used by God. He said, I got a game for you. Okay? And, I think sometimes we don't live each day like it's the last day of our life. And I believe that you should be able to say each night, God, every moment I took, every opportunity I took, I told people around me I love them. Yeah? I say to my daughter, who's the most incredible girl in the whole world? She says me, of course. Yeah? Take time. Secondly, I believe we need to take risks. I believe you don't actually grow unless you take a risk. When was the last time you took a risk? You don't grow. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you need to take risks. Thirdly, I believe that Christians are the only ones that can do anything of lasting value. There's only two things that you have when you go and die. Number one is the character you developed in Jesus. And number two is the people on whose lives you put the mark of the King. Okay? That's all you get to take. So, here I was in Wales, and in Wales they have these wonderful houses that amputate your head. Welsh people were really short, and if you go into Tudor houses, you walk like this, otherwise you are not wise. And a couple of my friends had, one of my friends actually ended up with concussion for a whole day because of these big black beams in this house we were staying with. We went for a walk. And as we came back, the man that was with us said, oh, the lady next door is 95. And my ears went, no, you know, and he looked at me and he said, would you like to meet her? I said, yes. And she at that minute looked out a window and waved at us. And she said, when we were introduced, she was English and she was a wiry old, feisty old bird, you know. And she was a tough old lady. She was really amazing. And she started to show us around our house and at her house. And as he introduced me to her, as we walked, he said, Kerry is in full-time ministry. She looked at me and she simply said this. She said, I felt the call of God too when I was young. But things happen and time goes by and here I am. And those words went so deep into my spirit, it about exploded me. And a little while later again, she said, I felt the call of God in my life when I was 21. But things happen, and time, it goes by. And here I am. And she said, just before we left, again she turned to me and she said, I felt the call of God to the nations. But she said, you know how it is. Things happen. Time goes by. And here I am. And you know what I knew? I knew that I knew that I knew. She knew God had had a call on her life all those years and she'd never done it. And I went back home and I cried. And I thought, give me a chance. We ended up praying with her just briefly before we left. But I thought, I need to go back and tell her. I need to go back and tell her this. You need to say sorry to God for the lost time. You need to say, God, I missed it. I'm so sorry. But Jesus, I have some days or some months or maybe even some years and I want to use it for your glory. And God, every opportunity you give me, I will use for the King. I promise. We finally got time to go back to her. I had a conference to do. And this day, I went in there and I sat down with her and I started to share. But this day, she wasn't well. And her sister was there. I think she was about, I don't know, 90, 92 or something like that. And I understood that the sister was hearing me, but Mrs. Udy wasn't hearing me anymore. And I told her what I wanted to say, and she turned to her sister, and she said, you remember that lady that used to preach in the woods? The sister said, no, because the call of God hadn't come on her life. Okay? And I realized that, and I prayed for both of them, and God touched the sister. But I thought it was actually too late. And it put such a fear of God in my life, I cannot tell you. It made me determine that I will, number one, meditate more. Value every day like it's the last day of my life. Number two, take more risks. I'd rather die doing dangerous things for God than live old and say, I wish I'd. Amen. Yeah? And number three, I want to do things of lasting value. I want to look and evaluate everything I do and say, God, has it got lasting value? I want lasting value. So I want to talk about a man who I believe lived lasting value. Have a look at 2 Samuel 17. A little old guy called Barzillai. There's some interesting nobodies in the Bible. I did A number of years ago now, I felt like God said to me to say to a local TV channel I did TV with, I need to do a whole series on nobodies in the Bible. And they said, fine. That left me with a responsibility to find them. So here's a nobody. We're looking at 2 Samuel and chapter 17 and verse 27. Okay. And it says, now it's when David was kicked out of the kingdom. And he was a fugitive, and he could have been killed at any stage by his son. Now, David had a besetting sin, and it was lack of confrontation. David was very bad at confronting a problem. He would let it grow from a molehill to a mountain. And so when his daughter Tamar was raped, he didn't deal with it straight away. And it caused trouble in the family. Eventually, Absalom, out of hurt and anger of what had happened to his sister, rose up and killed the guy that had raped his sister and ended up in exile. When David finally got manipulated to bring David back, to bring Absalom back into the kingdom, he never properly restored him. If you bring restoration, do it 100-fold. Do it completely. Do it absolutely. So we let him hang around with nothing to do. You get an Absalom spirit that you've dealt with in discipline. Don't give them nothing to do. Watch them carefully. So Absalom became a slime ball at the gates. And so people would come into the city and he'd say, hi. And they'd say, hi. And he'd say, where are you going? I'm going to see David. Oh, David. David. Yeah. King David, do you have a problem? No, it's fine, David, it's fine. Go see David. Next one comes by and says, I want to see David. Yeah, he says, David's always too busy to see anyone. Of course, if I was king, I'd see you straight away. Now, he became a real slime ball at the gates. Eventually, the people turned over to Absalom, kicked David out, and David ended up in the hills. But it was David's inability to confront and deal with things quickly. We've got to be people who deal with things quickly. When we see something's wrong, deal with it. Yeah? It may kill one, but it won't kill the whole bunch. And it will kill the whole bunch if you leave it too long. Okay. And so it says in verse 27, now it happened when David had come to Mahanaim, and Mahanaim, and it says that Shobi the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the people of Ammon, and Machir the son of Amiel from Lodibah, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogelim, now bought beds and basins. Now here's David out. He's out in the wilderness. I guess really hurt. I guess really in shock that his own son would rise up against him. I guess really an incredible damage and disappointment. This wonderful, incredible, dynamic young man has turned to destroy. And these guys come and they bring beds and basins, earthen vessels and wheat, coke and crunchy bars, barley and flour, all right, ginger beer and McDonald's hamburgers and parched grain and beans and lentils and parched seeds, okay? And honey and curds and sheep and cheese of the herd for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Okay, let me tell you some things about this little old guy. His name is Barzillai and it means strong and iron-like. I see two sorts of people. I see young people who are as dead as dodo birds. With no fire and no excitement and no believing that God can move in supernatural ways through them, no expectation that he will heal people through them, no power of God happening, dead as dodo birds. I know my daughter from the age of 5, I remember her walking into the lounge room once, and I just prayed for someone, and they'd fallen down and they weren't moving, but I'd seen a twitch and I knew they needed deliverance. She's 5. She moves, walks into the lounge room like kids do. Kabom! Bom! You know, the doors go. She marches across the lounge room. We have a word in South Africa that means that you only say to a dog when you tell the dog to get out. Footsack! All right? So she walks over and she looks at this lady. Good. And she looks at this lady and she goes, kneels down and she goes, foot sack, you demons, foot sack. They understood it too. And she begins to pray for deliverance at the age of 5. Same Holy Spirit. Now I see kids that are dead as dodo. They can be, I hate youth groups in many churches. Because the kids get forced to arm wrestle to go. They know it all and they do nothing. And they have no guts whatsoever. And they're the most boring, wimpy people I've ever seen in my life. I don't enjoy preaching to them. Okay? Then I see some young people that are so on fire for God. They are casting out demons from the day they get saved and filled with the Spirit. They are doing awesome things for the Lord. I had a friend of mine was in a conference and he walked out to get chairs and there was a guy being prayed for deliverance. And this Chinese man and my friend who was a pastor walked past. You know, you've got pastors saying, I bind you in Jesus' name. Another guy saying, I loose you in Jesus' name. One saying, speak in Jesus' name. The other one saying, be silent in Jesus' name. And you have a very sadly confused demon. And, you know, and so this Chinese guy and this pastor friend of mine walk past him and look at this. And they pick up the chairs. And as they walk back, this young guy turns to the person on the ground as they pass and says, out in Jesus' name, and the demon screams and leaps. And this pastor friend of mine wanted to hold on hands to this Chinese young man. He's about 19, and he said to him, that was good, wasn't it? He said, yeah, that's good. And this friend of mine said, how long have you been saved? He said, 2 weeks. I see some young people who are awesome and incredible in God. Then I see some old people that you can dance on their body while they're alive and they wouldn't know it. I mean, the only thing that makes them different from a dead person is they groan more. Okay? And then I see old people who are the most awesome, incredible, amazing people. I was sharing the other night about a friend of mine who used to run the Melbourne City Mission. In his late 70s, he decided to take a degree in theology. Okay, and he finished it. And I was with him on his 92nd birthday. And I said, oh, Jim, I said, I got to learn how to work a computer. He said, it's not so hard. I did it last year. You understand? Age has got nothing to do with your body. It's actually got to do with your spirit. And I see some people who got so boring and old, and we are called to be awesome and childlike and bold till the end of time. I'm sorry. And so I see this little guy, and his name means strong or iron, Barzillai. And he's old and he's new. First of all, he's a Gileadite, and he had the ability to bring the balm of Gilead to those tired and thirsty. I believe God is looking for people not just with the prophetic gift, but with discernment so that they can go into the body of Christ, look around, see who needs a bit of balm of Gilead, sit next to them, not do the professional, praise God, it's good to have you in the house of the Lord. Praise God, it's good to have you in the house of the Lord. But come into church every time they come, looking like heat-seeking missiles, walking up to total strangers, sitting by them, seeing where Christians and non-Christians are going through a hard time and ready to step in and be the balm of Gilead. Yes? When was the last time you came to give into church? I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about coming, choosing to be something special to someone in God. And coming to be an encourager, coming to be a builder, coming to just, and you look around thinking, do you think that person looks a bit down? You don't go and say, oh dear, are you all right? Oh, yuck. Oh. Come in, and you sit near him and you say, hi, how are you? How's it going, babes? And you be real. And you look for an opportunity to bring the balm of Gilead. And so he was a man who had the ability to go out and bring the balm of Gilead. Now, I believe that very often what we do, we actually meet needs and not wants in people's lives. I see missionaries that go out and they have their needs met. They don't have their wants met. In other words, you don't remember that the person on the mission field also needs crunchy bars. Yeah? Sometimes there's, I don't know, there's something about spoiling that lets people know they are loved by God. And I believe that we're called to be spoilers. And so if you've got someone in your congregation who's got five kids and they've got no money and they never get out for a meal together, you say, we will babysit. Here's the money for the meal. Go and be blessed. And you look for highly creative Balm of Gilead ways to minister to people any way you can. You know, sometimes we think being spiritual is just prophesying in church. Sweetheart, being spiritual is doing the greater thing. The greater thing is love. It's stitching our life with all sorts of events of love. And that means non-believers and believers. And so regularly, I end up in situations in airports. I remember being in Heathrow Airport, I think it was last year, and I saw a lady, and I thought, she looks classy. So I simply went up to her and said, you look so classy and so nice, and she cried. And she said, I've just missed my connection. You do not know how much I needed to hear that. I said, well, sweetheart, and then God just gave me opportunity to minister to her. But you see, if we don't start to reach out and be the Balm of Gilead, we miss it. Yeah? And then I see that he was wealthy. He actually was a very wealthy man. I'll show you in scripture later on, but he was a wealthy guy. I see money used for many things. I've seen enough churches over the years to see business people who are on eldership and leadership, and they use their money to manipulate the church to death. They say, if you do this in the Holy Spirit, we will withdraw our tithes. And if you've got half a brain, you will say, please do. Please do, because actually God is our supplier, not you. Yeah? It's true. And yet I see other people, and God starting to raise up other people who are starting to say, God, give us finances that we may be a blessing. I remember when I was brand new back with the Lord, I was lecturing at a university. And I remember saying, you know, because I used to take my tithe out. And then I'd take my offerings out. And then I'd say, can I give you some more? And I'd ask God for a figure. And I'd put that in a bank account, my God account. And I didn't know what he was going to use it for, but I used to put that amount in. And I remember getting to the point, you see, a sign of someone fresh in God is you don't say, do I have to? You say, can I do more? Mm? It's true. And so I remember saying, God, I want to give you more money, but I haven't got any money to give you. And I said, if you give me more money, I'll give it to you. That very night, I got a phone call from the university. They said, can you do another course, you know, another lecture? I said, yes, but I can't get to the university. They said, what do you suggest? I said, well, I can do it from my flat. They said, well, it's never been done before, but whatever, you can do it. So in my flat, I had my lounge room filled with students that I lectured to. And I had my bedroom filled with Asian students that had got saved and filled with the Spirit through me interceding for the students in the lounge room. And afterwards, we all had tea together. And all the money I earned out of that lecture, I put straight back into God's kingdom. When was the last time you said, God bless us, everything you give us of that part of the blessing, I will use for something for you. Yeah? I will use for adventure money for God. Yeah? And so I see that he was wealthy, but he was a guy that met practical needs. But you see, honey wasn't necessary. And I believe that some of the things on that list were spoiling things. When was the last time God said, go spoil that person? Go do something that will spoil someone. It would just be an abundant over-the-top spoiling. Okay, then he was willing to risk his life to bring provision to the king. And you see, he would have been very unpopular if he'd been caught. He was an old man. If they'd have caught him, they'd have killed him because they would have seen that he was a traitor. He was the one now who's taking provision to the criminal king on the run. Can you imagine being old and still risking your life for Jesus? I want to be risking my life for Jesus right up to the day before I die. I do. You see, because if my life is worth anything, then the things that I do should be worth dying for. I really believe that. Martin Luther said something like, if a man hasn't found a reason to die, he hasn't found a reason to live. Yeah? And sometimes we end up with so many borders around our lives. We say, oh God, I love to live safe. And that's your border. And God says, excuse me, will you believe me for some things you've never done before that are not safe, but a God? You want to grow in God, sometimes you've got to actually grab your borders and pull them a little out. So God, I'm going to say yes to things. I get phone calls occasionally, like that business conference I got a phone call about, and they said, will you do this? I know nothing about business. I made Barbie doll lounge suites at one stage for a craft fair and sold only one. You know, I'm really bad at business, you know. And then it was because they bought the doll on the bed, on the lounge suite. So I remember picking up the phone, hearing him ask me to do that, and saying, yes. And after I put the phone down, having the stress attack. When was the last time you said yes to something you knew was beyond your ability but was good for you to do? Right? You want to grow, do it. Then I see that he had to be willing to risk his life, and he had to be willing to risk his reputation. If your walk in Jesus hasn't cost you a bit of reputation, I'd suggest you don't really have a walk in Jesus. How's that? You see, when Jesus walked the earth, there were people that loved him, and there were people who hated his guts. There should be a few people that probably hate you. I'm serious. You know what part of the power pack is persecution? Jesus goes, wonderful, wonderful, I'm going to give you land and houses and persecution. That was the meat in the yummy sandwich. Huh? And everything in my heart knows that if I want to grow, sometimes my reputation will be upset. Now, some of you gave your life to Jesus and your friends thought you were mad. But then you got filled with the Spirit. And you ran to your neighbor and you went, guess what? I speak in tongues. And their hair stood on end. They moved their fence 3 meters to the other side and they put up a for sale sign in their front yard, and that was the first day. And they decided that you were not the person they wanted to associate with. And see, Barzillai was wrecking his reputation because, you see, the new king Absalom should have had the anointing, but in fact David still had it. And if you follow the anointing, there will be times where you'll lose your reputation. And if you're not willing to lose your reputation, you will never see anyone one to Jesus. Then he was willing to risk discomfort to serve other people. And I just picture this old man, and he was an old man, going up into the hills. And, you know, maybe he had a nice little tent or a nice house somewhere. He could have sent his servants. He could have financed his servants to go. He didn't have to come himself. And I see him out there with prickles in his rear end. And if you know anything about that sort of countryside, a few prickles in the rear end and a few scorpions running over your blanket and, you know, just a little discomfort. When was the last time you actually slept in a bed that had cockroaches in it? I remember going to a particular place, I think it was the Philippines, and every time we moved anything, we had all these big cockroaches run, you know, flush the toilet and all the cockroaches would come into the pan. And then I saw the bed, and I thought it was a brown duvet and a duna duvet, is that what you call it? Went up to it, and in fact, the whole fabric of the duvet was penetrated by baby cockroaches, that big. All stuck into the fabric. Yeah, and my Afrikaans friend that was traveling with me, who'd lived a very nice life till that trip with me, and I think she thanks God every day that she's never gotten another trip with me. Her daughter had given her a scripture for every day, and she pulled out the scripture for that day, and it said something like, I will lay me down in safety and sleep, for thou, O Lord, art with me. Thou art my security and comfort. And we had to find cotton wool and stick it in our ears to stop cockroaches coming into our ears in the middle of the night. Yeah? I can just see old Barzillai having maybe lived in comfort for a lot of years. But now he's out in the hillside and it's not comfortable. How about if you're in your 80s, you're willing to sleep on the hillside? and to share beds with cockroaches, and don't say that's your wife, please. Okay. So you're going to be willing to go out of his comfort zone to serve others. When was the last time you went out of your comfort zone to serve other people and to do things differently? Have a quick look at 2 Samuel 19. 2 Samuel 19 and verse 31. And it says in verse 31, and Barzillai the Gileadite. Now here's David coming back, and he's coming back into the kingdom. Absalom is dead. He's coming back into the kingdom, and it says, and Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Regellum. All right? Now, obviously what happened is Barzillai went out for a time with David. He fed him. He nurtured him. He comforted him. Then he went back to his home in Regellum. It says he came down from Regellum and went across the Jordan with the king to escort him across the Jordan. Now, I don't know whether they went into a boat or not. I haven't got a clue. But I tell you what, I see him walking across the water. I tend to see his old arthritic bones going into cold water and walking across the water. I just think he might have done that, right? And we see, the verse says, now Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. Okay? And he had provided the king with supplies while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very rich man. And it says, and the king said to Barzillai, come across with me, and I will provide for you while you're with me in Jerusalem. But Barzillai said to the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and the bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? He says, I'm old, Fred. Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king. And why should the king repay me with such a reward? And then he says, please let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city, near the grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant, Chinam. Let him cross over with my lord the king and do for him what seems good to you. And the king answered, Chinam shall cross over with me and I will do for him what seems good to you. Now whatever you request of me, I will do for you. And so we see that he was old, but he was 100% committed. Okay? First of all, this man is old, but 100% on fire for God. Do you mind me sharing stories? Is that right to share? I came to the Lord because of someone 100% committed. And I got saved at the age of 6, came back to the Lord at 26. And I didn't have any Christian family, any Christian anything. I was hungry for God. Not one Christian ever witnessed to me. The very first Christian that witnessed to me, I came back to the Lord. He was a black American on staff at the university I was working at. He said, come have coffee as we were introduced. We went and sat down, had coffee. He looked at me and said, have you given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I went, yeah, but I'm backslidden. He said, you need to slide forward. That was all he said. And I went back home, moved out from the boyfriend I was living with and started the track back to Jesus. Yeah, that was all it took. And after a year back with the Lord in Perth, I was about to go to Bible college, and I went to my parents, who are non-Christians. I said, I'm going to Bible college. Well, they flipped out. My mother said, how can you give up a good job and go to Bible college? And so we were going to visit a little old lady called Mrs. Price. Now, she was a Salvation Army lady, and she'd been a friend of my grandmother's. And we went to the Salvation Army home. She was about 82 at the time, I think. Walked in the door, and I looked at her, and my mother said, you'll never guess what Kerry's doing. She's giving up her two good jobs, because I was a journalist and a lecturer. She's giving up her two good jobs, and she's going to go to Bible college. Well, Mrs. Price leapt out of the chair, screamed out, put her hands in the air, and shouted out, my Jesus, you gave me my miracle. Oh, my Jesus, you gave me my miracle. And began to weep and praise God. Now, she was a Salvation Army lady, number one, that had been off to a Jean Darnell meeting, a full gospel meeting, years before, and got filled with the Spirit, sneaky-like. But she discovered that when I was born, she knew my grandmother, she realized there were no Christians in the family. And she committed herself to pray for me every day for my whole life until I got saved and until I had a call of God in my life. And I'm in ministry because of her prayers. I was 27 at the time she found out. She had been praying for me every single day for 27 years. You know what that is? That's called commitment. I used to write to her and send her postcards from different nations. And I remember coming in just before she died. She was in a bed. She'd been paralyzed on one side by a stroke. She was, 86 or something. And she was next to a window, but the whole view was obscured by a big gum tree. And her first words to me was, "Kerry, isn't Jesus wonderful?" I said, "Yes, he is. Why?" She said, "Because he's given me a tree." Now, I believe there are people that get a vision for the whole tree and other people that have a vision for the obscured view. Mrs. Price had a vision for the whole tree. Huh? And that's why I'm in ministry. And so here's this little old man. He's old and 100% committed. We see, and have a quick look at Psalm 92. I'm getting there, I promise. Psalm 92, in verse 14. In fact, let's read from verse 12. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree." If you are not flourishing, something is seriously wrong with you. And you better ask God why you're not flourishing. Then it says, "He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Okay? Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, I see a lot of people that float their roots along the top but never dig in and get 100% committed to some house of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. Okay? Promises that you'll flourish if you get dug into the house of the Lord. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Yeah, I believe that, in fact, you should be more dangerous every year you live. I do. I think if you started off with fire, you should have a hurdy-gurdy bushfire by now. I think if you are less dangerous than you were last year, something's happened, and it probably is bitterness. It's probably bitterness. And if it's bitterness, you need to get it clean, get it right, and say, "I will not allow any hurt to rob me of my destiny." Finished. I will allow nothing to rob me of my destiny. I will not allow the things of the past to control my future. That's it. It says they shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. In fact, that means that God will only keep you fresh and flourishing for one purpose. What is it? To declare. To declare. So I want to be fresh and flourishing and Barzillai-like. Then I believe that you work to declare that God is good. Have a quick look at Psalm 71. Psalm 71. And verse 9. It says this, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." Verse 18, it says this, "Now also when I am old and gray-haired and covered with rents, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation." Which generation is it? It's not his, it's the next one. I believe that every Christian is called to be able to minister to their generation and the next one. I'm having so much fun with young people these days. Right? I want to be able to get really old and be able to witness to the next generation. Now, if you can't, you've got staid and boring. And the thing that I find about Jesus is little kids could crawl all over him and thought he was great. Now, once you start to lose that contact with that next generation, something has happened to you. Because I believe God has created us for two generations, not for one. I'm sorry, I really believe it. Until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Therefore, I believe everyone, and I don't care what age you have, should have a vision that in my old age, I will be so awesome, anyone that gets near me will be in major trouble. I will be way more dangerous when I'm old than when I'm young. And I will declare that God is good. All right, so first of all, I see about Barzillai again, I see he forsook promotion knowing that his time for that job was over. And I think someone that's young and fresh has an understanding. Now, you may be the organ player and you've been playing the organ for 5,000 years and now you've got spiders in your hair and cobwebs hanging off your nostrils. And they've been wanting to put someone young in there, but you won't move because this is your ministry. Hallelujah. And God wants to do something new with you, but you won't move out of what you're secure in. Okay? And sometimes we get stuck in a rut. Even Elisha in the house with the young prophets had to have young people come to him and say, excuse me, our dwelling place is too small. I believe young people should be stitched into your life because they will challenge you. They'll pull you out bigger. They'll keep you fresh. And he says, if I go into the kingdom, I'm too old to enjoy what I've got to do there. I'm too old. And he literally steps aside and gives and relinquishes promotion, knowing his limitations. I believe there comes a time where our whole vision should be to release the young. There comes a season where we're young and we want to do things and we're doing things in God. But then we step into a new season and everything in us must be crying out, God, send the young that I can send them. Send the young in so I can equip them. Send the young in so I can push them out. Send the young in my life so I can disciple them. Send the young in so they can keep me being dangerous. Yeah? Send the young in. And I believe in every one of your churches, and I have no idea what churches you come from, you have got to have a vision for the young generation. And you've got to say, God, make me flexible for the young generation. Make me relevant for the young generation. It's true. And so he says, okay, I know I can't go in there and do the stuff I'm supposed to do in the kingdom anymore. Too old, can't smell, don't enjoy dancing girls anymore. So he released the reward so that other people going into his place. Now, I see he loved the king and gave him his companionship. When did he give him his companionship? Well, he went across the river with him. He could have stood on the other side and said, have a good trip, David. But you see, this young man so badly, this young man on the inside so badly wanted to be with the king. That he would walk through the water, that he would go with him as he was brought back into his rightful position. Why? For reward? I don't think it was reward. I tell you what it was, because he wanted to be with him. You know, we come before God very often and we pray like this, God, will you do this, amen, thank you, Lord, we're gone. Yeah? When was the last time you came with Jesus and said, can I hang around with you, Lord? When's the last time you got time to just sing to him and say, you're the best, Lord, there is none like you. I delight in every minute with you. I delight in you. You're my deepest heart's desire. Can I hold your hand? Can I stay a while? Can I just delight in the glory of your smile? Can I love you, Lord? Can I just sit with you? When's the last time you simply did that? Not for what you want, but just to be with him. You see, I come home from ministry and I've got, you know, what I call bribery and corruption presents for my kids. You know, I always love to bring them presents, but I love for the kids to love me more than the presents. Yeah? And oftentimes I'll be working at my desk and my 13-year-old daughter and say, Mommy, I need a huggle. And I'll drop what I'm doing. And I'll go climb on the bed and I'll huggle her and huggle her and huggle her and huggle her. And we may huggle for half an hour. And then that's all right. And she goes off and does her thing and I go off and do my thing. But I'd rather have a huggle than I want. Because you don't have to ask me, I'll give you. Because I love you. And when someone expresses their love to you, you actually don't need to throw in the list of wants. The Father just wants to pour out his blessing and his care back to you. And so it's like I see he loved the king. He didn't do it for anything. He just wanted to be with him. And sometimes there's a flood of the anointing. And we need to say, God, whatever you're doing in the body of Christ now, I'm with you. You get the anointing. I'm with you. I'm not letting you get out of my sight. Whoa, I'm with you, Lord. And we come into the flood. And then I see he had a vision for his son. And Chimon was actually his son, okay? I believe we need a vision for our sons and our daughters in God to be greater than we are. Now, I just think God is so amazing. I see David say, oh, I want to build you a temple. I want to build a really great temple. God said, David, I'm sorry, you can't. He says, Solomon's going to build the temple. Now, he had a couple of choices. He could have killed Solomon right then and there because he was jealous. Or he could have said, wow, Solomon's going to build the temple. You see, David was never going to see the glory fall. And sometimes we have a vision for the glory, and God says, I'm going to raise up your children to do it. I'm going to raise up your kids to do it. And we've got to be willing to say, I love you anyway, God. And David was so smart, he accumulated all sorts of building materials. And when David finally died, there was enough material to build the temple. And Solomon only had to go out and get a few other things because David was accumulating in preparation for Solomon being who he was called to be. What are we building up in preparation for our kids to be who they're called to be in God? Yeah? Huh? And the neat thing is God comes back to David. And this is typical God. And he says, but hey, David, let me tell you what I want to do for you. He says, I want to build you an eternal generation. Hey, David, you think you want to build me a little Weasley temple? Ah! Well, I'm going to build you a name that will last for eternity for who you are. Yeah? When we have a heart to grab a hold of our sons and our daughters in the Lord, whether they're our flesh and blood, whether they're people in the church, and you find the dreams and the visions of the people God stitches next to you, and you grab them and you say, I will finance you, I will encourage you, I will love you, I will believe for your vision. There's a difference between vision and ambition. Ambition says, get in my way and I'll kill you. It does? And vision says, I got a dream, and you got a dream. And everything I can do to believe God with you for your dream to come to pass, I'll make it come to pass. All right. Then I see he was willing to be alone. I'm almost finished. He was willing to be alone without his son. And it costs to release people into their call and see them go. And some churches get all hurt when they get to train people and then they get transferred. Sweetie, excuse me, are you building your kingdom or his kingdom? Yeah? And Shimon's name meant longing or pining. Meant longing or pining. I guess it was hard for Shimon to go in and be with the king and leave dad behind. It wasn't a broken relationship. But I believe that we are called to release people despite the longing and the pining for them to be who they're called to be in God. And then we see the result of being made of iron. Have a look at 1 Kings chapter 2. And I'm finished. And you can go. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 7. Now, David was not a happy chappy when he died. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 7. In fact, he had a few unresolved issues. Right? And here's David and he's ready to peg it. All right? And listen, I mean, if you read the verses before this, you will be shocked. In fact, let's read verse 5 first. Moreover, you know also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two commanders of the army of Israel, to Abner the son of Ner, and Amasa the son of Jether, whom he killed, and he shed the blood of war in peacetime, and put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist, and on his sandals that were on his feet. Therefore, do according to your wisdom, and do not let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace. How's this for a hit list before you die, babes? But show kindness to the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For so they came to me when I fled from Absalom, your brother. Okay? Now, the rest is a hit list, and there's one guy who gets the blessing of the king. It's the one who went out and did practical things to encourage and build and help in a time of exile and war. And it's interesting to see that, don't worry about looking it up, and in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, it talks about the Gileadites, and they were some of the first people to come back and build the walls of Jerusalem and build the temple of the Lord. I believe that very often, what we end up with is not an iron commitment. And we talk, oh, Jesus, I love you, I'll do anything. And in fact, we're not as fresh as we used to be. We're not as vibrant as we used to be. We're not still kids on the inside. We're not still dangerous in God. We're not believing for young people and pushing them out in the Lord to do great exploits. We are not walking into the congregation of believers and looking for people to encourage and looking for people to spoil and being Holy Ghost heat-seeking missiles. We are church people. I want to tell you, God hasn't called us to be church people. He's called us to be dangerous. He's called us to be Barzillais. He's called us to be people of Gilead. People of balm, people of anointing, and people of authority. He's called us to push out our borders of comfort. He's called us to regularly look with eyes that say, who can I be a blessing to? Those people really need a sweet kiss on the cheek or a kick in the rear end to get going. Come, let's just do something, babes. And we need to be people who stay young. I suggest to you, if you are older this year than you were last year, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. If you are less dangerous this year than you were last year, there's something wrong. And it's usually bitterness and hurt. And we get a little cynical. And having ministered for well over 20 years all around the body of Christ, I see enough things to get cynical about. But I will not allow it to happen to my walk in Jesus. I will get more dangerous every day of my life in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for little nobodies that became awesome somebody. And Father, right now, by your power and by your anointing, we want you to come in a fresh way into our lives. And Father, first of all, if there's anyone here and you've been a church goer, but you've never truly, honestly, with all your heart, prayed and said, Jesus, come into my life and take over. I want my destiny. I want to be who I'm called to be. I have done a million things that are dumb, stupid, and wrong, and I'm sorry. And God, I ask you to forgive me. I'm so sorry I've blown it. Please wash me clean. I'm glad you died to take away my punishment for all the wrong stuff I did. I am so sorry I've blown it. I ask you to wash me clean. And if you're someone here and you have never, ever, honestly, I don't care if you've gone to church every day of your life since the womb, and you have never truly prayed and said aloud, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I ask him into my life. I believe in my heart and confess with my lips that he's the King and he's the Lord. And you have never prayed that prayer. I want you to put your hand up and say me. Anyone here, you have never truly given your life to Jesus. Never honestly prayed and asked Jesus to be your Lord. And if you're here and you've never prayed that prayer, I want you to put your hand up straight away, because I'm not going to do a big emotional thing. If you've never prayed and asked Jesus to be Lord, put your hand up right now. Okay. If you're someone here and you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell on the people. He did not do a survey to see who wanted tongues, who didn't want tongues. Shame, dear, never mind. He just went, vomp, poured out his spirit, and it was Jesus who did it. And they all fell out speaking in tongues. If you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues, it is not an optional extra. We have a supernatural devil, and we need a supernatural baptism in the power of the living God to fight that. And if you've never been filled with the Spirit, years later at Cornelius' house, they didn't run a survey. Right in the middle of a perfectly good sermon, the Holy Spirit just fell. Wah! And they all fell out speaking in tongues. And if you've never been filled with the Spirit and spoken in tongues, I want you to put your hand up and say me. I've never been baptized in the Spirit. Anyone here, you've never been filled with the Spirit. And you say, I want the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want everything God's got. You say, I've been prayed for with tongues and it never happened. I'll pray for you again. Jesus will do it. Okay, one hand. Anyone else? Okay, see that hand? Once I've seen your hand, you can put down two, three. Come on, there's still some more of you. Okay, put it up so I can see it. Four, five. Anyone else? Never. Six, anyone else, never been filled with the Spirit and spoken in tongues. You want everything God's got. Okay, seven, young man at the back, anyone else, never been filled with the Spirit. Say, I got to have everything God's got. I need every weapon available. I need every bit of God's power. Anyone else, never been filled with the Spirit and spoken in tongues. And you say, I want the baptism in the Holy Spirit today. I really do. I need it. And I'm going to pray for you in a minute. Okay, we're going to in a minute pray for those people. But tonight, if you say, God, I have lost some of my youthfulness. And it's got nothing to do with age. It's actually got to do with heart. I've lost some of my spark. I've lost some of my dangers. I've lost some of my expectation of the unusual and the different. I'm no longer a heat-seeking missile in my church. I'm no longer looking to see who can I bless, who can I encourage, what can I do here? Yay, let's have a go. I'm not like that anymore. I've lost it. I know I've lost it. And you want to say, God, tonight I need to come back to that position. I need to be the most dangerous person in my church for Jesus. It's not really about prophesying. It's about love. It's about love. And if you're here tonight and you know, you need to pray a prayer and say, Jesus, I want my sparkle back. I want my danger back. I want to lead you in a very brief prayer if you'll stand up right now. You say, oh, that message spoke to me. I haven't been like that for a while. I remember I was when I got saved. Maybe I was like that when I was filled with the Spirit. Boy, I haven't done that for a long time. And I'm sorry, God. I'm actually sorry. I've missed it. I'm not sharp like I used to be. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer if God is speaking to you. Please don't stand unless he is. We're not in performance. We're in Jesus. Okay? You say, I'm really not like I used to be, God. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer in a minute. And I want to tell you what you're going to pray before you pray, because I don't believe in following someone and then getting halfway through a prayer and going, I didn't want to pray that. Okay? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to simply say, I hear your word, God. And I'm accountable to it. And I don't want to just hear it. I want to do it. And therefore, I want you to take me out of my comfort zones. I want you to make me radical again. And I want to be dangerous in my congregation. Whatever it takes. I'm available. And if you're willing to pray something like that, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I want you to say this after me. Father God, tonight I hear your word. and I'm accountable. I want to be alive. I want to be dangerous. I want you to challenge my comfort zones. Whatever's necessary. I want to be a heat-seeking missile for the glory of the King. Move my comfort zones. Expand me. Make me fresh again. And dangerous for your glory. Tonight, I choose not just to be a hearer of the word, but a doer too. And right now, I want a fresh anointing of your power to be able to be awesome and dangerous and move in the love of God. Therefore, right now, I want fresh anointing. In Jesus' name. Just stand there for a second. Holy Spirit, just come. Now. Right now. To every one of you people, I want a freshness and a newness to come into their spirit. I want you to speak to them this week that they will do new things like they've never done before. I want you to make them young on the inside again. Father, where they've got old in the spirit, I want you to put a newness and a youthfulness in the spirit back in them in Jesus' name. Father, I want expansion in God. Right now, I speak to their spirits and I literally say to them, arise back into that position of warfare and expectation in the kingdom. Father, I pray fresh fire on every single one of them right now. In Jesus' name. I ask that you take them and begin to use them, Father, to be miraculous people. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Anoint. Right around this room, God, anoint hands that can be used in healing. Begin to pour out the balm of Gilead so that they can be not only healers but practical people in Jesus. That they can see where the needs are, Jesus, and just step in and do it for your glory. Holy Spirit, God. Thank you, Jesus. It's not always finances. Sometimes it's simply time. Sometimes it's simply an interest in people, God. And Father, I pray fresh anointing on every single one of these in Jesus' name. Father, shake them up. Shake them up. Begin to expand every single border like they've never had before in Jesus' name. Do it, God. Do it, God. Do it, God. Make them the breakthrough people they were created for. In Jesus' name. Do it, Lord. Do it, Jesus. Thank you for it. Thank you so much. You're so amazing, Jesus. Touch with your fire. Touch with your fire. Father, every way that they've started to get almost like bitter and disappointed and jaded and faded, Father, take all the jaded and faded out of the Christians. Please do it, Lord. Please do it, Lord. We don't need it, Jesus. Begin to restore, God. Begin to restore, Jesus. Begin to restore back, Jesus, the fire of serving you, the excitement, the unexpectedness. In Jesus, Holy Spirit, do it. Write down each row. Write down each row. Fresh anointing. Put back the call of God in some of these people. Sort of deep in funny ways that has taken away the big voice in the spirit. I ask that you put back the voice, God, and heal. I want you to heal Jesus. Father, I thank you. This man is a man who's crazy and mad naturally. There's a crazy area to him. There's a fun area to him. There's a sparky area to him. And I want you to put the sparky back in this man now. In Jesus' name. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. And Father, I don't know, it's like there's been robbery over him. And Father, where there's been some robbery, I break its hold by the power of the blood of Jesus. Now, Lord. And Father, I ask where things have been like robbed away from them. I ask that you begin to give me double for trouble, Jesus. Double for trouble, Jesus. Double for trouble. And Father, it's, I don't understand, but it's almost like I see it. It's like I see every time he reaches out for something, it somehow gets pulled out of his grasp. And it's dumb stuff. It's like it's been one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. And Father, I pray for this mighty man of God that you would put things not only in his grasp, but that he'd learn how to hold on to them with fingers, toes, and nose, Jesus. And Father, every time the enemy would try and rip anything away from them, Father, that there would be a greater harvest because of the way he holds on to your dreams. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. You're not a God that beats us up. You're a God that cares about us. And Father, there's been beating up, and I ask that you come and undo the effect of beating. And even with words, almost like words and put down, Father, I pray release from that. I thank you, he's a crazy warrior man, and I ask that you begin to increase the warfare anointing in this man of God. And Father, he's a giant-hearted thing. And it's like I see him having to walk almost like carefully to protect his heart. And Jesus, I pray that you would increase the dimensions in God of that heart for people. Father, I want you to heal and restore. I want you to restore confidence. I want you to repair confidence in the name of Jesus. I want you to repair Jesus to the deepest part. And I want you to put back hope, Lord, that this man may go out and retrieve every bit of territory the enemy's wanted to rob in the past. Do it, God, because it's time for war. And I don't understand, but it's almost like I hear a war cry coming before him, and it's literally rise up to war now. Rise up again. And Father, I pray that there would be such a dimension of rising up. And Father, you would give him people around him that somehow in the spirit would hold his arms up until the muscles get so attuned to holding weapons of war. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just fresh anointing on each one of these people. Fire, God, in Jesus' name. Fire, Lord. Father, you would pour out your fire into these people, that they would be radical for you. Do it, Lord. Sweetheart, I just want to tell you, it's not too late. It's not too late. And there's been some areas and some issues you felt it's too late in. Sweetie, it's not too late. It's not too late. Keep going. Touch, Lord. Fresh fire, Jesus. Fresh fire, Jesus. Fresh fire, God, right now. Fresh fire. Father, I want her to be a lady who literally has the ability to stand up and be who God's called her to be in Jesus' name. A big dreamer. And Father, it's like, I don't know, she's lost some dreams. And Father, I just thank you, nothing can steal away the dreams you put in her heart. And Father, I pray that you begin to put bigger dreams in this woman's heart, that she may be an awesome woman for the King. Do it, Lord. Increase your anointing in Jesus' name. Increase your anointing. Holy Spirit, just come. Just come. This lady has such an ability to take things, teach things, take things, teach things, take things, teach things, equip people. She's like a great big factory in the spirit. People come in and go out equipped, come in and go out dressed, come in and go out looking glamorous in God. You have an ability to see what really suits people in the spirit and in the natural. And it's like you take people and they look like a rag bag, you turn them around, you shake them up, you reshape them. Have an ability to see what makes their eyes sparkle. Have an ability to see what makes them get motivated. You have a tremendous ability to take people and motivate them, woman of God. Tremendous ability. And a tremendous ability to take people and teach them. Point 1, 2, 3, subsection ABC, this is how you do it. You have the ability to get people well equipped. And Father, I pray that this would be the season where she'd start to see people come out of the woodwork, literally, and say, God, we need so much more. Won't you teach us? Won't you show us? And they don't understand, but it's not only the word, but they will look different. They'll look different. It's body, soul, and spirit now. body, soul, and spirit, and it's a dignity. And I don't understand, sweetheart, but it's a dignity, a dignity, a dignity, a dignity. It's dignity. And God says, I will teach you how to give back my people some dignity in God. And Father, right now I want fresh anointing in Jesus' name. And Father, for every old way that dignity has been cut off in a funny way, I undo the shock and the damage of it by the blood of Jesus. Now, Lord, right now. And I undo the roots of it in the Spirit, in Jesus' name, right now. And I loose the hold of the old, that our hands will be so loosed in the Spirit, and that new hope will come back, new vision will come back, and that she will, I don't know, I keep seeing you dressing people in dignity. Dignity. Kingly dignity. Father, I want you to do it in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, just come. Fresh anointing. Right now. Right now. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. I break disappointment. And the way that disappointment has got so deep into every part of you, so deep into your spirit, so deep into your heart, it's just been like living with almost like a disappointment that's like a clenched fist. And a feeling I'm not enough. And Father, I break the hold of that right now by the blood of Jesus. And I break its control now. Now. Now, Jesus. Now, Jesus, it's been like, it's just been something. It says, I'm not enough, I'm not enough. Almost like looking backwards, and I'm not enough. And Father, I thank you, she's awesome, and she is enough. And Father, it's almost like because of stuff, it's like her arms have got held down by her sides. And a dream again, it's been like having stillborn babies. And it's like having one thing after another that's only half come to birth, half come to birth. And Father, I want full birthing in the spirit and in the natural in things. I want a full birthing in God. I don't want any more of the robbery, because she's a lady who gets alongside people and holds up their arms. And Father, you've given her an ability to do it. And Father, I pray right now for the despair that's made her old and she's felt old. And I ask that you take that away in Jesus' name. Touch her. Holy Spirit, you do it now. Last 3 years have been battle, 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 battle. And Father, I pray for victory. And I pray for 10 years of it. And I pray release and release and release and release in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you give a great big stomping feet, that she'll be able to stomp and pray and see the power of the enemy broken. Father, I pray right around this family that there would be harvest and harvest and harvest and harvest and harvest. And that those that are almost like turned their faces away, Jesus, you turn them back in reconciliation in Jesus. Do it, Lord. Restore and repair. And refurnish, and refurbish, and refinance, and release God. Father, that the roots in the spirit will go down deep in God, because it's a new thing you're wanting to do through her. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray for some more of those people that are standing later on. If you put your hand up for baptism in the Spirit, now bring your body out. Okay, I got a memory like an elephant. You're in trouble. Okay, if you put your hand up to get filled with the Spirit, come on, bring your body out right now. Quick, come on. I remember who put their hand up. Wonderful. Come on. Put your hand up to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Bring your body out. Yeah, bring your body out. Wonderful. Yeah, come on. There's some more young men. Come on. If you put your hand up to get filled with the Spirit. Put your hand up to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You bring your body out now. Don't be a chicken licking, guys. Okay. I won't pick you out. I remember who you were, but I won't pick you out. But if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues, you need to come on forward. Okay. All right. Now what I'm going to do, if you need to leave, feel free to leave now. If you stay, you're responsible for what you hear. All right? And if you've never prayed for people to be filled with the Spirit, you should have. Okay? So you need to learn how. Is that fair enough? My little girl, before she was eight, before she was nine, in the last three months before her birthday, I think she got 14 kids saved and filled with the Spirit. She said, "Mom, I think I missed some of the scriptures you used." So it's cool, baby, it worked. And some of those were Buddhist and some were Muslims. Okay? And she went back to school this year and she was in her hostel for one day. Not even the night. She rang me later that night. She said, "Mommy," I said, "Yes." She said, "My roommate got saved and filled with the Spirit." This is like God just sorts them out, puts them in and shares a room with Lisa. Moves the next one in, shares a room with Lisa. And she's quietly working her way through the whole hostel. You know? Okay. All right. So if you stay, we're going to pray a certain way, okay? And what we're going to do, sweetheart, first of all, the Bible says that Jesus is the baptizer, okay? So we're going to pray in a minute. You're going to pray a prayer after me. You can look at me, okay? You're going to pray a prayer after me, and at the end of the prayer, we're going to drop hands because we're going to hold hands in a minute. And I'm going to, when you say amen at the end of the prayer, okay, we're going to say, I'm going to simply say, "Father, let those rivers of living water begin to flood now." When I say now, you're going to speak in tongues, all right? Okay? So I'm going to tell you a tiny bit about it real fast. The Bible says Jesus came to his disciples after he died and was raised from the dead. And he came to them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he breathed on them. And they went, and they had the Holy Spirit. Okay? He couldn't give the Holy Spirit until he died for them. When you gave your life to Jesus, okay, you had the Holy Spirit. But then he said to these people, "Wait until you receive my power, whereupon the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be my witnesses." So they waited. They didn't know if the Holy Spirit would have green hair and studs in his nose or when he was going to turn up, okay? But they knew they were going to get power. They didn't know when. They didn't know what sort of power. They waited. On the day of Pentecost, two things happened. Number one, out of their innermost being came rivers of living water. Thus spoke he of the Holy Spirit. Where did the river come from? It came from the well of salvation where you got saved. Okay, when I teach little kids to pray for grown-ups, as they put your hand on their spirit, they bubble. Right? Some people, there's a whoop, starts to happen. You can actually, I don't know what happens physically, but you can actually feel something. Secondly, the Holy Spirit came down upon them, and they didn't go, they went, and began to talk in words they'd never talked in before in their whole life. The Bible says, "I may talk in the tongue of men or angels." Okay? I may speak ancient Egyptian, modern-day Hindustani, Russian, Latvian, Swahili, Sotho, Xhosa, and basic angel. And all the angels may say, and he never even went to angel school. Okay? Words you have never said in your whole life. Now, when you speak in tongues, the Bible says, "My mind is unfruitful, but my spirit prays." That means there's no words in your head. Okay? They're not in your head. And people stand and they often expect the words to be in their head. Usually the words aren't in your head. They go from your spirit to your lips and they bypass your brain. All right? That means you've got to take a big step of faith and begin to talk. And it starts like a baby language. Oh my goodness. Or it might start off like this. Or it might start off like this. Or it might start off like this. Whatever way is cool, baby. Bible says we talk in tongues, plural. All right? And so you have got to use your lips, your tongue, your voice, and he'll give you his vocabulary. Okay? Bible says I pray with my understanding. That's when I pray in English or whatever your native tongue is. And then I pray in the spirit. There's no understanding. Okay? Now you cannot talk in tongues like this. Now even Australians have to open the mouth. Okay? You've got to open your mouth and enunciate. There's letters all around your mouth. Okay? Secondly, you cannot speak in tongues like this. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Because you can only talk one language at a time. That means you've got to let go of the understanding of your language, take a big step of faith, and begin to talk. When you start talking, don't stop. All right? As soon as you begin to talk, the devil will say a few things to you. Number one, he'll tell you, you're making it up. Okay? He will secondly say, you're not really speaking in tongues. Okay? He will thirdly say, you're just copying her. And you will say, up your nose with a rubber hose. Right? Because he says the same thing to people all over the world. Right? Now, what am I talking about when I talk in tongues? I haven't got a clue. The Bible says I speak mysteries to God. It doesn't mean God doesn't understand. It means I don't understand. So I pray for my husband and I maybe say, oh, gee, Jeff needs a kick in the rear end today. Lord, won't you? And then I pray in tongues. Probably the Holy Spirit is saying, no, she's the one that needs the kick in the rear end, actually. All right? Okay. I speak mysteries to God. I may be saying, God, quickly, there are missionaries that are in deathly danger in China, are about to be arrested. Quick, quick, send angels now. Okay? Because there's more persecution going on in this world today than there ever has been in the history of the church. Okay? And so God needs someone to speak aloud out. And that's why you use that language and you speak it aloud. Now, the Bible says that when I speak in tongues, it edifies me. It builds me up. It gives me spiritual muscles. Okay? Edifies me. Now, you work out at the gym. You work out in the spirit. That means it's not a oncer. You use that language every day. In the loo, in the shower, not in the supermarket. They might think you've lost your marbles. But, you know, in the traffic. All right? You use it every day to build you up. Now, I am not the baptizer Jesus is. He's been doing a wonderful job for almost 2,000 years. He can actually do this. He invented it. It's his stuff. All right? And so what we're going to do in a minute, we're going to join hands and we're going to ask Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. When you finish praying the prayer after me, I'm going to say, Father, let those rivers of living water begin to flood now. When I say now, okay, you're going to have your hands dropped, your eyes closed, you'll be getting ready. When I say now, you're going to take a big step of faith and begin to speak in tongues. Okay, all right. Anyone now understands and should be up here? It takes a bit of courage now. Anyone else? Never been filled with the Spirit and spoken in tongues. You say, I want to get up there quick. Come on, run. Run. Never been filled with the Spirit and spoken in tongues. I can still remember the kids that put their hands up. Anyone else? Okay, let's... Yeah, come on. Good. Wonderful. It takes guts to do that, sweetheart. Good. It takes guts. Yeah, it takes courage to do that. Anyone else? Never been filled with the Spirit and spoken in tongues. You say, I need to be up there. Takes courage. So I want baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's join hands. I'm not going to push you any further. Okay, let's join hands. Wonderful. Okay, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Dear Father God, thank you that you love me. I'm your child. And I love you. Tonight I hear you have a baptism for me. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want it. So I come to Jesus, who is my baptizer. And I say to you, Jesus, dear Jesus, please baptize me in the Holy Spirit and give me the gift of tongues. I receive it right now by faith, and I'm going to begin to praise you in a brand new language right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, drop your hands, get ready. Father, let those rivers of living water begin to flood now. Off you go. Shabrebekere, begin to talk. Off you go. You can't talk without talking. Keep going. Wonderful. Keep going. Ready, set, go. Yeah, listen to you. Keep going. Off you go. Ready, set, go. Big step of faith. Can't talk until you open your mouth. Ready, set, go. Come on. Good. Keep going. Make the words now. Yes. Sikala kashukota rabakatabaka. Shabara kere, wonderful. Keep going. Shikaraboko rebe kitika rabakatikiriato rabakata, wonderful. Keep going. Now give it some voice. Abarebika rabakitikarata. I can hear you and it's on tape, so I can hear you going. Ready? Set. Go. Alaka chakatunda rabakarabakitikariato rabakarabakitikarabakutaka. Arebikiri kandaku shakanamanaka like a shindanibendro bondre. Wonderful, keep going. Yato tabarabinda rabakarabakaretikiriato rabakarabakishikirianda rabakarabakatekeshikia. Esa balonda nibianda rabonda nibendra dakaraba. Off you go. Karabaka shikiri karakashakia. That's it, keep going. Shikarabako shakarabakatakatarekitikola yana. Don't stop, guys. Keep going. Let me hear it. Big step of faith. Ready, set, go. Fire, God. Fire, God, abaluta, barita, baronda, abata, arish, iteria, ombre, tendra, batra, ombre, beco, yeah, come on, kika la kota, korabakara, katikiti, karakatia, yeah, come on, kika, karabakara, bakata, karabakatikia, omba, ara, beta, ara, bakata, takiota, karaki, yeah, there's letters all over you now. Arabita rabako rabaka rabakitiko shekiria. Allah tutor rabakata karandikitia. And the kuteke shekitikia diotiosiandri. Keep going. Shikalakatunda. Give it some rugby voice now. Yalaboko shoka rabakarete. Arabonda, abaranda, imboka, andeki, akola, atiki, akako, harete, hambro, haritiki, arobokasha, arabakatikia, ambrebeke tekerianda. Keep going. I'll tell you if you're making it up. I'm an Australian, okay? Abalabekiri karaboko lama mana tikiti. Those are the letters all around your mouth now. Iboroboka raboka tenda aruboka abadetikita kalama itaba hoteke tekeshiki. Any letter you say will have a word attached. Akaraboka, anika, hateche, osho kalabaka. Imbronde kikang arebe kiri karibota barebe kilak lakanekitia. Akakora baka. See, some people are like bath taps, they just go whoosh, and other people are like garden taps, they go splush, splush, and then off they go. Yatora, Andri, Bimoro, Bakara, Vedikiri, Dula, Barabi, Bidibidia, Uro, Uro, Bakari, Titi, Buru, Balabada, Inga, Ka, Koka, Hika, Hamba, Inka, Arosho, Korabaka. I'm going to pray for you all, so keep going, guys. Make it with your lips now. Come on. Make it with your lips and your tongue. There's other words. Keep going. Good. Keep going. Make it with your lips. Fire, Jesus. Good. You get other words. Yeah. Yes, it's good, wonderful. Keep going. You're developing a vocabulary here. Keep going, guys. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep going. Okay, keep going.
Fresh fire, Jesus.
Now. Siblandro, shakarebi kita baroboko tekia. Asabaroboko rebi kiri andara barabakitiana. Sambrindaro kunda, karanda karebi kitia. Anduku shakaba. Asabor, umbarabaka barabakia. Baroboko tesi. Father, I break with this intimidation and fear over the ears. Almost like a timidity that sort of squishes and squashes at times. And Father, I break its hold now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I thank your opinion is valuable. Thank your opinion is valuable. And thank your opinion is incredible. Thank you, Jesus, you listen to her opinion. Thank you, she's got her own thoughts and she's bright and she's quick. Father, right now I want you to come and I want you to restore back confidence to the core of a being. Holy God, do it in Jesus' name. Sibronde karaba rabande kirianda. A break, fear that's come. In Jesus' name. And it's almost like it's got into the bones. And I want it undone now in Jesus' name. Right now. And into her hips, Jesus. I don't understand. Right into the hip area, Father. Now. Yeah, there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Right across the mind, Jesus. Almost like it's robbed her of, I don't know, the ability to stomp her feet and boogie and go, Jesus, and I want that under. Father, healing. Physical as well. Thank you, Jesus. Do you want to pray for her as well? Just go for it. I can hear a whole vocabulary coming out of you. Off you go. Alabati chako cheke cheke chakalamaka chokotobu korbikiti kilamanandoko. Ebre baro tablavanda rebendro ndramba kuke kakali chikoko. Ambreta rabokorabadabikitikara. This is a no fake man. He doesn't like fake and he doesn't like pretense and he's seen stuff and he's been told stuff sort of like, and he thought that's not really real. I didn't really break through, but right now, Jesus, I thank you. He's come all the way through. And Father, he's been hungry for you for a very long time. This year, there's been such a holy hunger rising up in him that it's like he could have cried a million tears. And Father, I thank you for an awesome, caring-hearted man. And Father, he's not a man that just sort of steps back out of the responsibility to be obedient to God. And Father, I thank you in the Spirit somehow. At this time, he's a lady to take off awesomely, but he's a greaty God. And Father, I thank you for a river of your water flowing through him. I ask that you give him an ability to be the gatherer into the stream you called him to be. Do it for your glory in Jesus' name. Touch him. Touch him on by Yesu. Kurrippikataya. Father, rivers, Jesus. Father, I thank you for a man who's just going to build. It's like I see a finger splayed out in the building project, sweetheart. It's like I see you getting into building in, and building in people's lives in an amazing, incredible way now. And Father, I pray that you not only release in him that gift of tongues as you've already done, but God, that you begin to release words of knowledge and words of wisdom, because he's in a, it's like I see you in a business situation where you really need those little pictures, those little words of knowledge, those little words of wisdom. And Father, I thank you. He's going to be like that heat-seeking missile for the king. Do it, Lord. Kareba karete shendri. Sayo sabre ta raba katiana. Father, make him a mighty warrior for the king. Make him a mighty warrior for the king. So often kids on one side shove him and kids on the other side shove him and he sort of gets put down a bit. Well, Father, I pray that the Holy God of Israel will be like the Lion of Tribe of Judah in this man. Father, I thank you that you're going to give his mouth so many words to say. Father, when he knows that he knows, he's like an unstoppable train. He'll just tell you, and how all those words come. But Father, I pray you start to show him your word and your spirit and your supernatural at this age, God. That he will be an awesome young man for the king. Do it. Kayo, handri, bandri. And I don't understand, God, but open his spiritual eyes that he would have dreams and visions. That he would understand things in the spiritual realm. Father, do it. Do it. Do it. It's almost like somehow he stands at the back of the room. Father, I want you to kick him so far in the front in the spirit. I ask that you begin to give him just real revelation in God like he's never had before. Do it in Jesus' name. Touch him. Fire. Fire. Kale taro katabakia. Kamakucha kachiki chikarabakurabakarabak. You pick up those that are being squashed down. You seem to pick the ones that hang around and the ones that have got lost on the edges too. You got a big heart for those that haven't broken through. You're a carer and a builder and a carer to the core. You feel like you haven't got much, but you'll give lots more because you've got a heart to restore those that got lost and have never seen open doors. A dreamer and a dreamer, God's going to break through in you. Dreams that you've not seen, sweetheart. And he will do exceedingly more to care for those who got lost. You'll put somehow in the spirit the end, the stop, to the way that people get so lost and left out. And God's going to make you a water spout. People just think you're nice to hang around. And God will give you a very caring sound, a restorer and a repairer, and a person who will stir people up a bit. But in a right way to come to you. Father, I thank you for it. Touch him in Jesus' name. Touch him. Touch him. Father, touch him. Father, I want just breakthrough in this character. He's mad, he's crazy, he's like a, I don't know, like a line dancer in the spirit. He knows what it is to just get in there and have a go, have a go, have a go, and all the feet together. Lord, I ask that you put back a whole new authority in the spirit in this time, not just baptism in the spirit.
Can we hear that language again? Off you go. Kidamo talabai shendri bandra bandri be tadabiati andra bokosheki. Bakayata ba. Arabakiri dios sandri bindabara bakasabrundi kirimini anda. Nika rotu kusambri bindabara Mrs. Fixer. Oh, Mrs. Fixer. She often sees things that need to be fixed and gets along and does a little bit here and a little bit there. Mrs. Fix it. But Father, there is so much more fire to Mrs. Fix. And touch her by your power in Jesus' name. You know what, sweetheart? You've had to be responsible since you were small. And you had to be so responsible, always responsible, 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 that the words responsibility just about broke you to the core. It took away your fun, took away your sparkle, took away your youthfulness, sweetheart, took away your joy, and you had to be responsible. Others could go out and do stuff and have fun, but you had to be responsible. And it's like I see you supporting people, supporting people, supporting people, supporting people, until one day your life was gone. And you thought, excuse me, God, I feel like I got old before my time, and I didn't have my season of party and fun and just being me. And in fact, for a lot of years, sweetheart, you've walked not quite knowing you. But Jesus says, come party with me. He says, I'm going to cause you to be drawn out. Come party with me. You're my bride. Come party with me. You're my beautiful one. Come party with me. For I will dress you in finery. I will cause you to have color and passion. I will cause you to know what it is to experience my love in a way that's different. For I'm not a God that would load you with a yoke that is way too hard to bear and then add more. And I break the yoke that's been there over the years of responsibility, responsibility, responsibility. And people just assumed you as Mrs. Responsible, and they would give her more to do just because she was always there and that was what she did. But that's not who she is. And I call back the crazy one and the fun one and the sparky one and the wild one and the excited one and the delighted one and the traveling feet and the dancing feet. And I undo the weariness that got inside the spirit of the 10-year-old girl. Just the weariness that went so deep into her spirit, she felt, I just got to carry everything. And Father, I want you to undo shock and death over this woman in Jesus' name. I want you to undo shock. Almost having to hold up everybody else. And she's had to do it for years and years. And I break the pattern off her. And I say, not responsible in Jesus' name. And I thank you, you love her, God. She's your party animal. She's due for the biggest party she's ever seen in her whole life one day. But Father, I pray you put the fun and the crazy and the pizzazz, because that's who used to be in the little girl. And I don't care what you have to do, God. But I want you to cause her to learn how to dance in you in God. And that she wouldn't just be Mrs. Fix-It, but she'd be Mrs. Fascinating, Mrs. Fabulous, Mrs. Far Out, and Mrs. Feisty too, Jesus. Because there's way more in her. And I ask that you grow her right through past the responsibility of being in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Touch her. Just stay there for a second. The anointing's all over you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Just come. Just come. I want you to just, I don't know, God, I ask that the next few years will be the biggest giggle she's ever had. That things would happen where she would just giggle. That she would just be naughty. It's the Holy Ghost naughtiness that would happen in her. I ask you to give it back in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Off you go. Ready, set, go. Arada karabakita kashokuta pakashin brabon brebekara bogora marabaka. Arada karabakara bakitika. Off you go again. Karabakirita kanamakoshandra bindra banda. Yeah, because it's not in your head, it's on your tongue. Abarabikila barabuko. Ombre, andre barabarabakasha. Ready, off you go again. Kabarabikira barabakashikia. Shukoshaka tikishikonamakashikilia. Brebekoshindra bindia. And you won't get it and lose it. It's there forever. It's yours. Father, it's like I see a big protection around this young man. Just don't get too close and break my heart. Just don't get too close and break my heart. Just don't get too close and take me for granted. And it's almost like he's had to plow ground and make territory himself and break through and push through himself. And it's almost like I see him pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing somehow and just saying, I'm just going through. I'm going to get through. I'm going to be fine. I'm pushing through. And Father, I ask that for this man that there would be a highway for a while. And there'd be a highway of holiness, a highway of your care. And Father, it's like I see him getting broken and cracked and then just rising up and saying, I'm fine, thank you very much, I'm okay. And Jesus, so often on the inside, actually not being. And Father, this is the season where he's having to make some really straight decisions. And those straight decisions have been costly for this lovely man. Because actually this man has a very big heart. And he's had to protect it because it's been hurt and broken. And he's learned to just step over the broken pieces and keep going. But Father, I thank you that you take him right now because there's leadership ability in this young man. And there's real leadership ability. But it's like I see him running around the edges of it because it's almost like he doesn't believe in who he is. And Jesus, I thank you, you do anyway. I thank you, you believe. And I pray that there would be some, new confidence come back into him. He is a hard worker. He is a hard worker. And it's like I see him pushing through where there hasn't been as much opportunity as there should have been, but him pushing through anyway. Now ask God that this would be the season where you would start to do some opportunities for him, that he'd have a giggle and say, God, only you could have made that one happen. How about that? Father, he could do with a big brother. He could actually do with you being a big brother, Jesus. Now ask that this season that you'd help, because it's really hard, and it's like I see you peeling layers and layers off his heart and opening his heart again to trust. Father, stuff has happened from way back that makes it trust, hard stuff. And I ask that you be his big brother at this time. And Father, you have given the ability to stand up in the leadership and the sense of the call of the Lord in his life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Begin to praise him in that language again. Off you go. Can't get away that quote easily, sweetheart. Father, I just thank you for the call of God in this lady's life. I thank you that the call of God is not in any doubt. And it's like I see her dodging here and skipping there because she's so scared. Oh my goodness, what's it going to cost? And Father, she just knows your hand today. And she just knows your hand. And Father, your hand is for her for nations, in countries and places she's never even envisaged. And Father, she's a big-hearted carer. And this one's a marshmallow on the inside, but boy, she's just, you know, everybody's tough in her group. Has to be a bit tough. And yet on the inside, she's not tough at all. She's got a giant heart of passion. She's highly creative. There's so much creativity in you, sweetheart. It's almost like dance and drama and creativity and color and flair and so much to unpack for the King. And you're a dreamer and a heart builder. And God listens to you. He listens to you. He listens to you. And you've been going through so much upheaval lately. One minute you're happy, next minute you feel like you've been hit by a huge wave and been dumped with your head in the sand and you can't breathe. And it's been like that. You felt, I can't breathe. I feel like I'm dying. I just can't breathe and I don't know me anymore. And it has been the loneliest time you've ever gone through. Last 9 months has been the loneliest time you've ever gone through. And it's felt like your whole heart has been scrunched and scrunched and scrunched and scrunched until it had a giant fist around it. You felt like, I can't breathe. It can't be me. I don't know me anymore. And there's been an emptiness. It's been like a great big hole. And beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lady of God, God's hand is so much on your life. And it's like I see him fathering you in a different way to what you've even been fathered before. And it's like I see you growing in the Spirit. And Father, I ask that you come and you begin to touch this mighty lady. Because everyone thinks she's a bit, she's sort of easily moved this way and that. She's no pushover. I tell you, when she knows it's God, you watch, she's going to be like a major torpedo taking off. And it's true. And there's worship and praise in you and an authority in God. And Father, I pray fresh anointing. And I pray for that. It's almost like I see her nervous because she's known the hand of God was on her. It's like, oh God, oh God. Oh my goodness. Oh, don't let me get too close. And Father, I thank you for your anointing. I want fresh oil to flood over her right now in Jesus' name. Because she's going to have an ability to hold many people's hands so they don't fall down. Many people's hands so they don't quit. Many people's hands so they don't run away and give up. Many people's hands. And you're going to laugh because you've been such a stir. Amen. This is a sniffer out, a check it out, a have a look at it from all sides. She will watch. She'll evaluate. She won't easily take anything. You watch her buy clothes. She will check it out. She will look at it. She will stand this way. She'll stand that way. She wants it to look just right. She has an ability to check out. She doesn't like fake. She likes the real thing. And God's going to give her such a discernment in the Spirit. And there have been parts of her that have felt like I need to just say, stay silent. Not say, not say. And yet God is going to open your mouth and make you the biggest mouth around, sweetheart. And it's like I see you having a real confidence. And God's going to take your mouth, He's going to make you a lady of confidence with your mouth. And you will learn to discern who's real, who's fake, what's real, what's worth building into. You're a great team lady. You could get people going for anything if you really wanted to. And you'll sit back and you'll be quiet, but if you get to motivate people, you can motivate them into anything. Talk about selling ice to Eskimos, you could sell holes to Eskimos. It's true. It's true. And so often it's like this, 90% of your ability sort of held back and quiet and 10% out the front there. Sweetie, God sees a lot of it. You cannot fake it. Okay. And there's a lady of very bright ability, quick, puts things together quickly. Lady of real authority in the Spirit. And you've got a hold of her, and I warn you, God's got a hold of you big time. You have an ability to draw other people into the kingdom. And Father, I pray for a great river of a move of God that would start to be birthed from this crazy, nutty person. I pray that people will be swept into Jesus. I pray that she'd be like a bulldog, chew them on the feet until they bounce into the kingdom. And I thank you, she's a lady who's going to be able to see and understand things in the Spirit very quickly. I pray mighty anointing over her in Jesus' name. Amen. Fire God. Fire God. Fire God. Jesus, if I lived in this country, I'd take this one ministering with me. Because there is, I don't know, there's such, I don't know, a real different call of God on her. Real prophetic edge going to come out of this one. Incredible discernment out of this one. Real prophetic edge. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Was that easy? Was it easy? You can all get people filled with the Holy Spirit, can't you? Can't you? Yes? I have a Chinese friend, and she lives in Kuala Lumpur. And she said, I listened to your tape on how to get people filled with the Holy Spirit. I listened 16 times. I listened to how to get people filled with the Holy Spirit. She said, I go to my first meeting, 40 people, one shot. Speaking tongues. Yeah? You're welcome. Then use my sister. All right. Those people who stood up and I didn't lay hands on you and pray for you. Okay? Will you come on out front, please? Those people who stood up. You need to be specific. I just want to lay hands on you and believe God for sovereign breakthrough. I want to pray for you too. This lady is, you were standing up and I really want to pray for you. Okay, thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to lay hands on you and believe God. Oh, sweetheart, you're the biggest harvesters around. You came out of some old tradition, the tradition you shook, it's like I see you shaking it, your feet out of some tradition and shaking a bit of tradition here, and then something new would happen, you shook a bit more tradition, and something else happened, and you shook a bit more tradition, and boy, did you get up people's noses. My goodness, they thought you'd lost all your marbles, they didn't understand what had happened to you, and every time God began to flow, you'd look at it, you'd say, hold on, it's God. Let's go with you. And people thought you were a bit weird, but you've harvested some. Boy, have you harvested some. And you're a mum and dad to many people. And many people call you their parents. Okay? Many people call you their parents. And you have a giant heart for parenting and for people in other nations. You know what it is to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And your parents. And God loves to use your home. It's like I see people flowing in and flowing out. You're like a railway station sometimes. But it's for these latter years God says, I'm taking you out and I'm bringing you in and I'm taking you out and I'm bringing you in. And it's like I see you guys going out with fishing lines and then with nets. And then with all sorts of goodies to take with you. And I want to tell you that your nest is being shaken. And you thought it already had been. Well, I want to tell you your nest is still being shaken. Still being shaken. And you're a man's man. You have an ability to listen and listen and listen to men. And I want to tell you, God's going to be more men who've got their hearts broken and their spirits wounded and they've run out of their own macho ways and they need to heal. And you're going to hear the unspoken questions, sweetheart. And that's going to increase and it's going to increase and it's going to increase. And you'll be like a warm and a fiery place that they can warm their hands against the cold of winter. And it's like they're going to be people who the winter has got into their hearts. It's got into their spirits and it's got them cold. And you're going to have an ability to come alongside and walk with them away. You're not just going to point them to the fire. You're going to walk with them. You're going to walk with them. And there's a real discipling, caring ability that God's put in your heart. But he's shaking your nest at this season. And I don't understand, but I just see your feet being more loose. And it's like people saying, won't you come over here? And it's like I see people, even people in ministry at a later stage saying, just won't you come in and just, I don't know, care with us. Care with us. We're not such good pastors, but you're care bringers. And God says, I want to teach you how to care bring, and I'm going to open some more things for you because you've stayed flexible. And God says, don't get stuck. And every now and again, there's a sense in which you could get easily stuck. And it's like you're called to be firebrands, nothing less. And Father, I just thank you for this feisty lady. It's Mr. Salt Pepper and Mrs. Pepper Shaker. I mean, Mr. Salt Shaker and Mrs. Pepper Shaker. And she's the pepper. She is. She'll go. She'll... When she knows it's God, boy, she's got a nose like a greyhound. She just... Boy, she just chases after the power of God, and there is a hunger. And you have an ability to draw people from traditional denominations in. They do not know what they are coming into. You are the sneakiest thing, but in a good way. You are amazingly sneaky, but in a good way. And Father, I just thank you for this lady. I thank you she's about 16 and a half. And she is. She won't let him get stuck in a rut anyway because she'll kick him along a little bit occasionally. And Father, I don't understand. This sounds a funny thing, but I want to say God's put romance back again. You know that? Yes. He's put romance back in her, guys, again. And there's coming a season when you're going to put romance back in people. And it's right and it's God. It's God. and there's a whole, it's like I said, God putting something into your hand that has the ability to remember that lips love. And you need God to have him right across the room. And Jesus, I pray right now for every member of this family. Dear God, that you come and begin to do miracles of our lives. Please, God, we need to be the restorer of hearts and the repairer of breaches and broken houses. You need to do it so awesome and quickly. Because it's like they prayed for others and seen God do amazing things. You need to do so my soul.
Sanctify my soul.
Into the hearts. I want you to take this dangerous character, who's a mortal, who's ever been used before, and I want you to come out on both of them. Harvesters, 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 harvesters. And sweetie, you're going to have the right words. And I don't know, it's like I see you every now and again, and you walk into situations they don't want to.